time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That ball hit well to center field. Back goes Pache, still going back, looking up. This ball's gone. Home run! Chaz McCormick, 3-for-3 tonight, breaks the tie with a solo home run to straightaway center field. Chaz Manian Devil makes it 2-1 Astros.
Chaz McCormick, baby. High school basketball legend. Astros with a 3-1 win over the A's. Christian Javier was on the mound. Probably shaky by his standards. Let a couple of guys on bases, but the Astros did come away with the win. Yeah,
I got to pause for a moment, though, and listen. You know, Syracuse Mafia stands together. Todd Callis and I, massively close friends.
Oh, really?
Chaz Manian Devil, Todd. Listen, I'm a big fan of your work. I don't know if I can approve that one. Chaz Manian Devil?
Do you like mine, Peña Mania?
I mean, Peña Mania.
That's a good one.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah.
I said it on a broadcast.
Peña Mania. It rhymes. It works. Chaz Manian Devil, is he from the island of Tasmania or something like that?
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Tasmania? Real place.
No,
I don't
it's
know
not.
Where it is, though. I could Tasmania not point it on a map.
Is Tasmania real?
It's an island south of Australia.
It's
what?
South of Australia. Okay. I knew it was in that general area, but I wasn't 100% sure. Yeah. Tasmanian
Maybe that's
devils
like
are real.
His favorite cartoon or something.
Well, that's a real. That's a real animal.
Hmm.
It's obviously a cartooned up version of said animal, but that is a real animal.
I could not have known any of that and have literally never heard to the
you
point where I
today.
Kind of think you guys are
so,
lying to
you
me.
You know what? In a weird way, Todd Callis with the very bold choice of Tasmanian devil to describe one Chaz McCormick. Taught us something.
Todd, I love Todd. The bullpen was great after Christian Javier ate up some innings. Chaz McCormick obviously had a great win. We saw him last year have a couple of good games, had a couple of good games in the World Series, and he really needed to have a good one this year.
Yes, he did. I mean, he needed it last night. I mean, last night was a frustrating game. I know they won, but 3-1.
And you've talked about this.
I'm getting more and more annoyed by it. I mean, the A's are a poverty franchise. They are legitimately a team that plays in a sewer, and they have sold all of their parts. And when you have opportunities to blow the game wide open like the Astros did in the seventh inning where they had the bases loaded with one outs, and in the eighth inning when they had the bases loaded with no outs, and the only runs that they were able to score in that are a Chaz McCormick solo home run and a walk home to make it a 3-1 game and to provide that insurance run, I'm just getting more and more frustrated. It's incredible the amount of opportunities, Vanessa, that the Astros have with runners in scoring position. And again, last night, 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. And I mean, shoot, they might have had an even bigger inning if on an earlier hit by Chaz McCormick, which was an RBI single, if Jeremy Peña didn't make a bit of a blunder, you know, running home getting bagged. With two outs.
This was also an issue last year. If you remember, I think it was towards the middle of the season where they really struggled with that statistic as well, and that's continued this season for sure. It's another game, though, where the pitching really has carried them, even though it wasn't the best
really
game
has.
For Christian. Even though it wasn't even his best game for Christian Javier,
the
pitching, the bullpen has really carried them in eating up those innings.
Right. Look, I mean, it's almost become something you can take for granted that the starting pitcher is going to give you a very good outing. But yeah, I mean, Javier almost threw more balls than strikes in this one. And, you know, you allow four hits, you give up four walks. That's going to lead to the bullpen getting called early. You're playing the A's. I expect them to continue these victories against bad teams, you know, whether it's Oakland, Kansas City coming up. But I just want this offense to wake up. They are being given opportunity after opportunity, and they're acting like I used to, Vanessa, when I was a 5-year-old kid and I only wanted hot dogs. I will only have a hot dog.
That was you 2 weeks ago.
No, I don't like hot dogs anymore.
Oh, you're on the Tom Brady diet.
Now we're even pickier than we
used to
be. Did
you guys see the picture of the hot dog fillings that fell out of the truck on the highway the other day? Did you see that, Sean?
No.
Yeah, I saw it.
That's one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
What was in...
It's just like pink mush.
Yeah, it's unidentifiable as food.
Yeah.
See, this is why I don't like hot dogs, because unless you burn it, and I'm like, yeah, okay, this looks like a piece of charcoal.
I like a good bratwurst, but you have to know where the sausage is coming from, which is kind of a life rule in general.
Well, I don't want to...
Do you want to know where the sausage is coming from?
Yeah. There's literally a saying, you don't want to know how the sausage
is
made. Oh, well, then I'd say the opposite.
That's an Indiana thing.
2:37 p.m., very specific start time. The Astros play the Oakland Athletics again. Justin Verlander will be on the mound.
I'll take that over 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, this West Coast stuff, I don't like it.
Another lawsuit for Deshaun Watson has dropped. Sarah Barshop was the first one to have this story. This is lawsuit 23 for those civil, and again, this is a civil lawsuit now, 23 active filed against Deshaun Watson. According to the lawsuit, the plaintiff changed her mind about filing that lawsuit after watching the HBO Real Sports piece that aired, of course, that was with Soledad O'Brien and Bryant Gumbel. Harden has denied these claims, as he has with all of them. We're going to talk about all of us what kind of stands out about this, and I'm going to start. What I think is specific about this one that is different maybe than the other ones is that it highlights a new You Salon spa, which was apparently the name of one of the spas that Watson went to get these massages. Dion Lewis, the owner of the spa... This is according to Sports
Illustrated. Not the former NFL running back.
Not him. Dion Lewis, the owner of the spa, facilitated massages for Watson and knew Watson was attempting to have sex with the women. According to Cash App receipts and text messages included in the petition documents, Watson paid Dion Lewis at least $5,000 for Lewis's quote-unquote work. Now, I'm not alleging anything involving prostitution, sex trafficking, pimping, etc., all of which are real things. I know we throw around the word pimping and all of that, but those are obviously real things. But you're talking about a woman that, according to this, knew that Watson was trying to have sex with her employees and continued to allow Watson to pay her and set up those sessions. I have not, and I've read through these lawsuits, I have not seen that allegation before about any other situation. It's been Deshaun Watson meeting with an individual on direct message, etc., which doesn't excuse anything, but it's Watson with one of the women. This to me just brings in a new element, and I don't know if it'll turn into anything, and I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm simply saying that you have a third party who allegedly knew that Watson was trying to do this. That is not good.
More allegations are going to come out. I mean, it's just conventional wisdom. And whether truthful or untruthful, if there are anything that look like receipts that are involved with it, it is going to be more and more hard for Deshaun Watson to clear his name, as he believes he will be able to someday. Now, for Watson's part, Rusty Harden came out very strongly against the most recent accusation. He put out a statement, and I highlighted a couple of specific parts. The only thing new about her contentions is the embellishment, making them more extreme than prior versions. You want to read the allegations, there are some more graphic details that seem to be fairly consistent with everything else that we have read that Deshaun Watson allegedly likes while he is being massaged.
Right.
The statement from Harden goes a little bit further, Vanessa, saying that the two respected lawyers did not coerce or intimidate this new person making allegations, alleged victim, at this meeting that they had. They met her to see if she was one of Tony Busby's then still anonymous plaintiffs. At that time, Mr. Busby refused to identify his clients. It is weird that Rusty Harden is admitting that they were trying to smoke out one of the anonymous clients of Busby, because these people, I would imagine, do not want to have people that are on the opposite side of things perhaps intimidating them. That seems and smells a lot like intimidation, that you are trying to find out who these anonymous people are. at the very end of this, this is I'm getting annoyed with the Harden tactics here, which are, hey, let's shift the focus to Busby. We are not surprised Mr. Busby was willing to say just about anything to get more publicity. He knows the NFL continues to investigate these cases, and this is a transparent attempt to further punish the man he sees as a potential payday. Which might be true, but this is all that we keep on getting from Rusty Harden is, well, look at Busby. Well, look at Busby. Well, look at Busby. I don't know. Give me something.
Right.
Can I get some evidence that Deshaun Watson did not do these things? Can you present me anything other than, hey, the word of your lawyers who are on your payroll, and other than the, hey, Busby's carnival act? Can I get something other than that? That's all I want, Rusty. So if you could present that to me as eloquently as you love to do, that would be neat.
I think that when you take inventory from this entire situation, it feels almost kind of dirty to talk about football and how it affects the things on the football field, because there are young women whose feelings are at stake here. There are nuances, there are details, and we're going to hear actually in the next segment, because I don't think we have time to get to it, from Lovie Smith and what he said regarding Deshaun Watson on Chris Collinsworth's podcast. But I just do feel like it's worth mentioning when we talk about things related to football and Deshaun Watson, it's not because we don't care. But this is going to affect him on the football field potentially. I can't say that for sure. But we know for a fact that the NFL is wrapping up the investigation. Roger Goodell said so. Roger Goodell said a few weeks ago that the NFL investigation is wrapping up. Rusty Harden has said that as well. Does this impact another accuser? Again, kind of a different type of accusation involving a third party. There's been some reports on Twitter by legitimate outlets that there could be a 24th lawsuit.
I saw that too.
If this keeps happening, this may impact Deshaun Watson on the football field. And you may say, okay, Vanessa, what's the difference between number 23 and number 24 than all of that? Honestly, the difference is timing. The difference is timing, and the difference is that because of that HBO Real Sports piece, we can put faces with names.
Other timing to factor in here too, Vanessa, is that the NFL is also dealing with its own mess because of Daniel Snyder.
It's a great point.
With John Gruden coming after the league, and we're going to see emails made public about other skeletons in the NFL's closet. Roger Goodell, his job security could be in jeopardy based off of whatever comes out with the Daniel Snyder investigation, because he is the fall guy for all the owners. He is their $50 million a year pincushion, and he's going to have to look tough, I would imagine, in this situation, tougher than he has been in years past.
He loves to toe the company line, and he's good at it, and he gets paid an absurd amount of money to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like millions and millions of dollars.
He is paid to essentially be beaten up by people.
Right.
But, I mean, it is a real, like,
and to suck up to Jerry Jones. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Lovie Smith comments on the situation involving Deshaun Watson, and Paul Gallant has thoughts. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Wednesday. Earlier, I think I said it was Thursday, but it is, in fact, Wednesday. I told the lady at Starbucks happy Thursday, and she had to correct me.
Oh, no.
So, happy Wednesday to everybody. We will, of course, get to our Wine Wednesday segment, and oh boy, do we have some whining to do.
You can blame that on your lack of iced coffee at that point in the morning.
It's a really good point. If I don't have my iced coffee, I'm not fun to deal with.
Nothing counts before your coffee.
Aw. See, Paul's going to make a good husband someday because you say things like that.
Well, it's interesting what we're going to talk about in a little bit. I don't know if that's going to be thought of the same
television
way.
Segment, a segue, right? Lovie Smith was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, creatively named the Chris Collinsworth Podcast. In addition to the Collinsworth slide and some color commentary for NBC, he does host a podcast and does some
Here's a guy.
But it is a good podcast. A lot of great quality interviews. And he had Texans head coach Lovie Smith on the other day. Lovie Smith has always been pretty honest about the situation involving Deshaun Watson, the complications of it. He said enough, but not too much. But I really liked this quote from Lovie Smith when Chris Collinsworth asked him about the situation and the separation per se from number four.
You know, sometimes divorce is good. And that's my statement that I've made a lot of times when, you know, a split's going to happen and both parties are going to win once it does. Again, I don't know exactly what all happened. The accusations are there. And if they have merit, that will all come out in time. But for our football team, we needed to move on.
That's an absolutely great statement because he addresses the fact that he hopes the truth will come out, regardless of what it is. He talks about the fact that for their football team, and he separates the two, as we've tried to do on the show, too. We know that there are more important things in life than football, but we're a sports talk show. He talks about the differences there, and for the football team, it was a good thing.
I mean, it technically wasn't because you are moving on from a quarterback with talent that no one else in this city has had since what? Steve McNair, when he was here for 2 years, Warren Moon. I mean, it's been a while since the city's had a good quarterback, regardless of how you feel about him. Was he going to be an all-time great? I have no idea. But was he going to be one of the best quarterbacks of his generation? That's for sure. It's nice to move on from all of the mess, though. And sometimes it's just about moving on from the mess. This wasn't a situation, though, where like the Texans and this guy weren't a good match. This was a situation where Deshaun Watson looked at the Texans, didn't want to play for them anymore. He wanted out. It's not like this was a mutually agreed upon divorce. The way Lovie Smith is describing it is like it is a mutually agreed upon one. Well, yeah, it becomes a mutually agreed upon one when you find out that your significant other, I don't know, is going to massage parlors and, you know, having the
time
of their life.
Shout out to Lovie, though, and his wife, Marianne. He always tells the story, very sweet, that he went on his first date with her and he knew then and he came home and told his college roommate that's the one.
How do you
been
think,
married for a long time, and I like Marianne. Shout out to the Smiths.
Well, I wonder if Marianne listens to the podcast, because what's she going to think when she's hearing what Lovie Smith said? Sometimes divorce is a good thing. I mean, I agree. Sometimes it can be a good thing. I know like two of my best friends have gone through divorces not long after they got married, and honestly it was for the best for them.
What is up with that with our generation? Everybody's getting divorced. Like our parents' generation got divorced after like 20 years, the kids move out of the house or high school. The our generation's like 1 year, like
it's not traumatizing at all
when
that happens then.
Not at all.
Nope.
Okay, so can you confirm or deny since you brought it up?
It was a good thing for my parents, actually.
For mom and dad.
But I mean, I was 12 years old and I took it horribly and I changed dramatically after it. It did wake me up and ultimately it did work out for the best. My mom's been married to her high school boyfriend for like over a decade.
She got back with him?
Yes.
Cute!
And my dad and his girlfriend have been together for a while too, and everyone seems really happy, but it took us a while to get to that point, and that's sort of one of the things you have to realize about this Texans getting out of this divorce, if you will. It's going to take a while. Going back to what you were talking about earlier too, I'm of the belief that get out, if you're going to get out before there's kids.
True.
Because, that is just one of those things where it's always going to be awkward, and I imagine hanging over everything as time goes on.
That's very true. Lovie Smith commenting, of course, on that Deshaun Watson situation. Again, I will always and forever say that I appreciate when people separate, because for us it goes without saying, but you do want the general public to hear you say, verbally say, I want the truth to come out, regardless of what it is. Football-wise, here's how it impacts our team. Because it does to some people.
Isn't it so funny how you go to that, though, right away?
Right.
Like, football-wise, we got to
focus
on us.
Right, right. All right. Speaking of football, regarding baseball, Mike Trout, get it together. Apparently, he is a very, very bad commissioner for his fantasy football
team. Not surprising.
Team.
The most boring man alive. Also,
you're not
terrible.
A Trout fan.
I just think it's fun to hate on Mike Trout for, you know, being an MVP of a team that routinely finishes under 500 in fourth place. That team has two MVPs, by the way. So that's going great for them.
This was, of course, said by Tommy Pham of the Cincinnati Reds. Is it Pham or Fom? Pham, right?
Pham.
Pham. Like, what up, Pham? I won't do that again. Tommy Pham of the Cincinnati Reds in wake up.
Isolate that as a drop.
Issue with Jock Peterson.
What up, Pham?
and all of those issues that led to the Will Smith Oscars Chris Rock type slap. Apparently, Tommy Pham is blaming Mike Trout, saying he didn't step in the group chat. He didn't put his foot down. Mike Trout is supposed to meet with the media today, guys. I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm excited.
For some more Midwestern boring nothing? Even though he's from Philadelphia, I just assume he's from the Midwest.
But what if he shows some spice? What if he actually gets passionate about fantasy football?
He won't. It's honestly, I give Tommy Pham a lot of credit for the balls that he has right now, where he's just like saying, like, yeah, I slapped Jock Peterson. He deserved it. Yeah, this was also Mike Trout's fault. I'll slap him too. I'm assuming that's like the next part of whatever statement that he had. Look, I feel like some commissioners are good, others are bad in fantasy football leagues. I am in two fantasy football leagues. One of the leagues I am in has a very good commissioner who is on top of everything all the time, and I have no idea because he has a very busy job and he somehow is able to do all of these things.
Go ahead. What do you have to do as a fantasy? Like, what do you mean? What qualifies?
So,
and I play fantasy football, but...
You have to settle disputes. You have to act quickly when there are disputes. And I am a procrastinator. I would be terrible as a commissioner of a fantasy football league or something like that. The other league I am in, I am routinely getting Tommy Pham mad about things because of stupid rules that they have had in existence for a while. And look, I come into the league, oh, you're the new guy. Well, when the new guy goes to the championship every single year since joining it, he has some thoughts and he likes to weigh in on said thoughts, and they don't like to change any of the rules when I bring them up or even think about it. Like, well, we'll do that the next league meeting. No, do it now. Why does this always happen? So I've experienced bad commissioners before. Again, this does not justify going up to somebody else in your fantasy football league that you left a year ago and slapping them in the face. It's just on brand for Tommy Pham, who, again, is someone who wanted to fight somebody who got in a home plate collision that he was not involved in any way, shape, or form. He wanted to go to a gym so that he could fight this guy Muay Thai style or something like that. A gym that apparently someone he knows has that can open up after hours so that two guys can actually combat with one another.
Here's
Tommy Pham's a crazy person.
Do they all join the same fantasy football team next year?
No.
You think Tommy Pham's out?
Pham, I mean, he should come back in because he's being a giant baby about this whole situation. Like, I really think that no matter what was happening, if the rules are one thing, which is the issue that Pham had at first, and now it's the commissioner is another thing. The commissioner is the one that puts the rules in place. If Jock Peterson is doing what is allowed per the actual online league, then I see nothing wrong with that. I don't see a problem with that. That is something that you bring up as an issue with the commissioner, and the commissioner is supposed to act on that. But Pham's a crazy person. I feel like we need to keep on saying this. There's a long track record of weird things that Tommy Pham has said and done. And there's a reason that the Reds are the only team that are dealing with this BS right now. The worst team in baseball.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope that, honestly, this continues because it may be one of the most exciting things about baseball. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 problems. Nope, 99 days until the NFL season.
Oh,
we're going to talk about that, and we are going to pick an alternate team. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
That is true. The PIN process, baby. Passive Investor Network. These guys are going to help you and your family secure long-term wealth through real estate because, I mean, real estate values are just going up and up and up and up. And maybe you're looking at it and you're thinking to yourself, am I ever going to be able to get in on this? Well, why not have a conversation with my friends over at the Passive Investor Network? Passiveinvestor.net is the website. And look, they're going to give you a personalized 5-year plan. They will sit down with you and they will talk with you about places that they see around Houston that you could be investing in that are about to blow up a la the Heights. And they actually show you their entire process and you'll get to meet with all the key figures involved on their famous bus tours. You could go to passiveinvestor.net, look for that bus tour, promo code ESPN. And look, guys, you will get to go and you will see exactly how this thing works. And they'll meet with you before, afterwards, some great lunch along the way too. Check them out, passiveinvestor.net. Again, it's passiveinvestor.net.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, 99 days until the opener for the NFL season, regular season, that is. Obviously, OTA is happening right now, guys. We'll have some training camp action in July. But the real thing starts 99 days from today. Texans action. We expect the Texans maybe not to be great, but better than last year. And so with that, we've decided to introduce a new concept of an alternate team. This was Paul's idea.
The Texans are going to be not good this season. I mean, I would love all of a sudden for them to pay off on what? I think it's like 2,500 to 1, I think, for them to win the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, doing my...
I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Davis Mills is going to be better in year two than he was his rookie year. I think there's a lot of upside there. I know the guys love Lovie Smith, but it helps to have an alternate team when you know that you're probably not going to win more than 6 games max.
Exactly. So the team of Vag, the team of Vanessa and Gallant, Vag Nation, you guys have to help us pick
Sean's face.
A team. What? That's the acronym for the show.
It is the acronym.
It's the acronym for the show.
It probably sounds weirder when I... Yeah, I'm sure it does roll off the tongue. All right, so...
Look, we have to pick an alternative team. But the idea that I thought, because I feel like we all have our picky things that we would like in a significant other, all three of us have to agree on it. And I think we also have to convince a majority of the audience to be with us as we pick this alternative team for the 2022-2023 NFL season. And I know, since I'm a picky little panda, that there's lots of teams where I'm going to be like, bleep that, screw that, hell to the no about that.
Well, the first, I think, two ground rules should be that it can't be Colts or Patriots, obviously, since those are the teams. And it can't be anybody in the AFC South. Not that you or I would want to get on board with Trevor Lawrence or Ryan Tannehill to begin with.
No.
So no AFC South and no teams that we grew up liking.
Right. But then I get really annoying where, like, I hate the Baltimore Ravens. Out. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Out.
You hate a lot of people.
Every team that's ever been in New York. Out. I don't like the Miami Dolphins. Out.
It's Wait, why not the Dolphins?
Because the Miami Dolphins have a fan that when I was 15 threatened to strangle me with my own intestines. This is a Patriots-Dolphins game.
So we have to
knock off every team that has a fan that's threatened to beat you up.
Yeah, because that's probably the rule.
Are we picking CFL teams?
Unless you can convince me otherwise.
You grew up a little white boy voting for, you know, loving the Patriots. There's probably a lot of people from a lot of different teams.
Everyone wants to choke you.
Right.
So, well, I mean, listen, I was just explaining to him that the Dolphins are a poverty franchise. It was fine, okay? And he told me that, and I was like, that's just your opinion, you know? The Patriots actually lost that game, too, which was the worst. I was like, well, shoot, I have to shut up now. I can't continue to talk trash anymore. But I know that I'm picky, which I feel like could make it kind of fun for me and maybe annoying for you two, is trying to convince me to root for a specific team and get over my small, petty grievances that I can find with any team across the league.
So I'll give you my vote, and I'll also give you my hang-up. My vote is for the Raiders. I think Derek Carr is going to shine with Davante Adams. I love that storyline that they played in college together. Adams without Rodgers, I think, is going to be interesting to see, but I'm intrigued by it. Las Vegas is fun. It would give us an excuse to go. Mark Davis's hairline is immaculate.
Yeah, but
love the bowl cut. Here's my only hang-up. Now, this is mine, not yours. This is my vote. Josh McDaniels. Hate him because of what he did to the Colts.
I don't know. I think he had the right idea, honestly. I think it makes the Raiders a little more attractive, in fact.
So that is my vote and my only hang-up.
I feel like Josh McDaniels is literally like the line between you two as people, as football fans. love Josh McDaniels has been burned by Josh McDaniels.
Thinks it's okay to leave something that you've committed to when three of your assistant coaches have moved their families to Indianapolis and enrolled their children in school, and had it not been for Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay, they would have been out of jobs. I don't think that's okay. Yeah, that's the difference. Integrity, baby.
And Vanessa thinks it's okay to have someone lined up for a job when he never actually signed a contract.
Whatever.
He's mine.
Because growing up, In Indiana, your handshake means everything.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay. And there's worse places to move your family than Indiana, right?
Right. Worse places. Okay, so my vote's for the Raiders. What are you? What
so
team?
Here is my one hang up with the Raiders. Can Vag Nation be associated with something as potentially disgusting as Mark Davis and the all of a sudden new investigation into some workplace misconduct? Can Vag Nation be seen with that? I don't know. Can he? And let's
I don't know,
also
but
be 2618
on the text line said Vag Nation and your listeners are vegetarian.
Yes.
I do like vegetarians. I will say that.
Hey, listeners, thank you, get your mind out of the gutter. This is just what the show is, okay? Can you stop?
I've had three texters say they like the Bills for the alternate team.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the Bills, who I have no problem with, even though I grew up in a Patriots fan in the AFC East. Aren't the Bills too easy of a team to pick? Wouldn't this
right,
be
right.
like
yes. It'd be like picking the Chiefs?
Right. Yeah. I like Bills fans for the most part. I think they will be terrible when they win, but I like Bills fans. They have been through a lot. They have stayed remarkably loyal. I feel like though that's too high up, and I feel like where the Raiders are, Vanessa, is a great spot. I would just say that the Mark Davis
potential controversy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't like his hair either.
Oh, I love it.
It'd naturally be the most superficial reason you don't like someone.
I wouldn't want to be seen with him.
Oh wow.
I mean, would you?
And if you're listening and you're wondering, is he kidding? No, he's not kidding.
I mean, would you want to be seen
Paul
with that person?
Literally hangs out with people that look like him. They're fit. They're
well. I mean, listen, we're trying to start our own side reality TV show. Hustle.
Oh, help, Sean. Do you have a team that you would like to vote for the vegetarians?
Yes. So like Paul pointed out, I didn't want to go with the overwhelming favorite for the Super Bowl, the Bills, or the defending Super Bowl champion. I was more hard on, like, I don't want to pick, like, I don't want to aggressively jump on a bandwagon. I want there to be some struggle, some teams that have been through the hard time.
Okay.
And so, I'm jumping in right after the hard times. That's why I'm going with the roommates of the defending Super Bowl champions. Give me the LA Chargers.
Ooh.
I like their uniforms. Again, I'm being very superficial. I like Justin Herbert. They're basically a team you'd build in Madden because they have Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Paul.
See, I've talked about liking them, and Paul, you're not as much on board with the Chargers, right?
I could be talked into this one though, because you're pushing all the right buttons here, Sean. In that they do look good. They do have a promising young quarterback. I guess with Justin Herbert, this is just me being like the zagger. There's a part of Justin Herbert, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Texans kicked their ass when they played them towards the end of the year. I guess I'm not so definitively sold on Justin Herbert, who I do think is talented, as everybody else is. I guess I'm sort of like, I mean, he could be a career Matt Stafford, which is not a bad thing. Matt Stafford obviously just won the Super Bowl. But there, I don't know. There's something about Herbert.
But doing this, I'm looking forward to taking the leap of faith with the team to be emotionally vulnerable and ride the highs and lows of a young quarterback.
Okay. This one's going to be a tougher sell because
also they play like they are playing Madden because they go for it every time.
This is that is true too, but that could drive you crazy after a while. Like Brandon Staley is not exact. That's the other part here. Staley, I am not convinced, and I get a little old man yelling at cloud when it comes to some of these younger coaches with the way that
the boy wonder
they operate. I wanted to say the Bengals, but the Bengals just made it to a Super Bowl, so I feel like they're out of bounds on that one. Here is one I will propose. I think we'll have a much better feel, and I don't think we should officially decide until right before the start of the year. We can keep on coming back to this topic. I am curious as to if the Detroit Lions season of Hard Knocks will make me like the Lions a lot more. I know that they have some very compelling characters. They have good uniforms. They have really been through it. The problem is they are likely going to be not that much different than the Texans this season.
I was going to say the conceit is that since the Texans are bad, let's choose a team to root for, and then you win with the Lions.
Tough sell.
I do like Dan Campbell, though.
Yeah, how can you not like somebody that says he's going to bite your kneecaps?
Yeah, they play hard.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that the Chargers, as far as odds to win the Super Bowl this season, did you know that the Chargers have the sixth best odds?
I was going to say, aren't they like fifth?
Yeah, that is surprising to me that they are sixth best.
That is a little bit higher.
A little too high, probably.
Here's the other thing some of the vegetarians have brought up would be like the Packers or whatever. But the Packers and Cowboys, it's like the brand is so strong.
Too much.
Feels bandwagon-y. Does that?
I agree.
That's my like inner kind of indie. Like, oh, you like the Packers and the Rams? I like the Chargers.
Right.
You know, yeah. You might not have heard of them.
Yeah. Have you? And they really don't have a lot of fans.
No,
they really don't.
I think
don't.
We can make a big
we
push.
We could make a splash. All right. If you want to make a splash and save money on your home, listen to me. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You probably pay too much for home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle, but it doesn't have to be anymore. TGS has a new system. It shops 36 carriers. You get that full quote using only a single text message. You're going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. You send it back, and you get that full quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are real. The online rating almost perfect, and the average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been, and you're only a text away from big savings. So one more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, there's some tension between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. The two used to work together. There were always reports that they didn't really like each other. And that all came to light when Nick Saban said the Texas A&M bought every player on their team. Jimbo Fisher then had a heated press conference where he used the word despicable, I think like 47 times to describe.
I'm done with him.
Alabama with the fast talking. It was a lot of heated words. This, of course, stemming from discussions regarding NIL. SEC spring meetings started Tuesday, and there were a lot of questions about this to Nick Saban. Now, Jimbo, I think, is supposed to meet later today, so we haven't heard from Jimbo in response yet. But Saban said, and I quote, "I didn't really say that anybody did anything wrong. I've said everything I'm going to say about this. I should have never mentioned any individual institutions. I've said that before. Some kind of uniform name, image, and likeness standard that supports some kind of equitable national competition, I think, is really, really important in college athletics and college
football." You sounded like Jimbo,
football.
Though, not
Thank
Nick.
You
sounded like Jimbo.
I'm not. We need to have the guy I went to college with, Joey Molinaro, who does amazing
Can we have
Nick
him on?
Saban impression. We need
Let's
to
have him,
have him.
If you went to college with him, I would love
I did
to.
I did go to college with Joey. He was doing impersonations
He is the new Frank Caliendo. So,
he is.
I would love to have him on if we ever could. To circle back to just Nick Saban, nothing Saban said was factually inaccurate. And let's be honest here. I would say the same thing about my alma mater. Syracuse is in a frozen, cold wasteland. That they could get elite basketball players up there, how do you do that?
You pay him.
Oh, it's Jim Boeheim. They want to play it for him in the 2-3 zone. No, you're right, Vanessa. It's money. How many of y'all have been to College Station? It is fun on a Saturday. What is that town like Monday through Friday and on Sunday? Okay, let's be honest. How are you getting young men to go and play in this very weird, largely white area? You're probably giving them a little bag. Now, Saban's whining about it for sure, and I am team Jimbo Fisher in all of this. But why is Saban retreating like the French in insert World War? This is, I feel like, embarrassing for him, and I feel like he should not be, well, I shouldn't have mentioned names. No, you should have mentioned names. This is good for the sport. People will talk about it outside of your traditional circles. Your traditional regional circles, where it is the center of the universe. Isn't that the goal?
of college football? Isn't that the goal of the SEC in a way?
I thought that Molly Caron brought up a really good question. She was on First Take, as she always is, with Stephen A. and Mad Dog, and then Paul Feinbaum, who hosts the Paul Feinbaum Show and covers the SEC like nobody else. Molly asked Paul Feinbaum, do you think that this is partially Nick Saban being mad that he is eventually possibly going to lose some control over getting all of the best recruits? And Paul Feinbaum agreed and said that he knows of a certain high-profile recruit whose starting rate is $3 million. And Paul Feinbaum said, quote, Saban isn't going to participate in that. Do you believe that Saban isn't going to participate? And do you believe that he is genuinely mad about the fact that he may not be as competitive?
He's a control freak, and control is being wrested away from him temporarily. So he is overreacting. And I think we all, I mean, I know I do when I feel like something that should be under my control. You'll hear more at Wine Wednesday about that. When it starts to go out of my control, I get pissed off. And it's like, this is unfair. This is dumb. But then you have to attack and you have to fix the problem. This is what Saban will eventually do. I think that he now realizes, though, that Texas A&M, because they have so many people with oil money, they are going to have as many resources to recruit despite not a lot of success on the same level as Alabama. In fact, like not really any success yet. We'll see if that changes, but the landscape's changing. Did Saban assume that he was just going to be the premier program in college football for eternity? I mean, it has been an incredibly long time that Alabama's been at the top of the totem pole.
And when he took over, they were nothing.
Right. You remember growing up?
I remember being
told about Alabama's history. But when I was growing up, it was Florida State and Miami. It was the Florida schools who were a big deal. USC was gone for a while until Pete Carroll came back. Like, this is the natural life cycle. And Texas A&M sure has a whole lot of resources to potentially be the next five-year superpower that takes over the entirety of the sport or just revolutionizes the sport in a way. So I hate that Saban's retreating like this. I think it looks soft and pathetic.
I'm curious as to what our resident University of Texas fan Sean Mapes thinks about all of this talk with Jimbo Fisher.
Well, first, with Nick Saban not willing, won't participate in that? Good. Because I know Texas is going to participate in that. I know teams will want to participate in that, and so that will, like Paul kind of said, will kind of lead to a shakeup at the top, which college football needs. But yeah, I mean, obviously they're paying. I mean, Jimbo Fisher said that Alabama's paying guys. Jimbo Fisher kind of alluded on National Signing Day that they're paying guys.
Right.
Where he said, like,
they're all paying guys.
This stuff used to be illegal. Now we get to talk about it. And so really, I mean, it is what it is. It is kind of weird being like, yeah, Jimbo Fisher. Good stuff. Good stuff from Jimbo Fisher. But yeah, I mean, obviously they're paying guys to go to College Station.
Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
They got the number one recruiting class in America to go to College Station, Texas.
Yep.
Guys are still going to want to go play where they can win. They're going to want to go to Florida. They're going to want to go to, you know, Alabama and especially Georgia and those places. But if it's between three places and one school is offering you $2 million, the other two are offering you $500,000, you're probably going to go to the place where you're like, yeah, I could probably win a national championship, just as good of a chance as the other three, but I'm getting $2 million.
Yeah, and they're not like bad. They went like 8-4 last year. They beat Alabama, so that they can at least point to that, say we're going in the right direction. Now we kind of build up the talent with this number one recruiting class. Maybe that becomes more of a regular thing instead of like the first time they've done it since Johnny Manziel. But Jimbo Fisher, the biggest thing is you got the big recruiting class, you're kicking sand, you know, you're making a mess kind of in the offseason talking that talk. Now you kind of have to walk the walk because, like I said, they weren't bad last year. They went 8-4, but that's not what they're paying these guys to do. The boosters are not going to be like, yeah, 8-4, good job.
It's the same way I feel about Steve Sarkisian, which is the boosters are not patient, and the boosters will buy you out if you're not winning.
Do you think we could see Texas A&M acting in the same way that UT has over the last, in the entirety of the post-Mac Brown era, where it feels like there's just a lot of competing wallets, and it seems like there's not a lot of cohesion? Like right now, okay, they got Jimbo Fisher, and it seems like even with the college basketball team too, they're like, all right, well, good, but are they achieving to the standards? I do wonder if there's a certain point where A&M says, like, we are definitively better than this, or maybe the lack of success that they've had is a good thing for them. Because when Texas, when they've had that success and thought that they were at the top, now they're in pursuit of something that they might never, ever get back.
So the Texas boosters, where they get in trouble is that they are pulling in different directions. They all want to be Buddy Garrity, if you've seen Friday Night Lights. They all want to be Buddy Garrity. They all want to be the guy at Texas. And Texas A&M, this is where they're pseudo-military school 12th man stuff kind of plays into their hand, where they are, I mean, they have an NIL collective, and they called it a collective because it is, they are moving as one. They are kind of more on the same page, where Texas is a lot of like, well, this is how I did it. You know, it's all a measuring contest.
This is, I love this text from the text line. A very passionate Aggie, 2141, says, and I take a deep breath. As someone who lived in College Station for 25 years, it's a great place that's grown to over 130,000 residents and is on track to break 250,000 in the next 5 to 10 years. Plenty of good restaurants, bars, etc. Plenty of stores and shopping. You're in the middle of the Texas Triangle. 2.5 hours to Dallas, an hour to Houston, 2 hours to Austin, and 2.5 hours to San Antonio. Not to mention A&M is a great school with a great campus.
Never a good selling point to tell me, hey.
Sounds like me talking about Indy, baby.
It's close to all of these different places.
Yes. Yes. You wouldn't say Austin is, you know, an hour away from San Antonio and 3 hours from Houston. You'd say it's Austin, Texas.
And Austin definitely has its fair share of issues as it dramatically changes with the influx of people from the old left coast and stuff. But, I mean, if you're a young kid and you see these two areas and you see the places that are essentially within walking distance for you, whether it's 6th Street or the other one, I mean, this is, we're talking about young men. Okay.
Predominantly black, too, as far as the number one recruiting class in the nation.
And that's the thing with College Station, where, I mean, look, I'm not going to slander it, but in College Station, there is a giant paramilitary force that marches around campus. You have no cheerleaders. It is a different vibe, and it is not for everybody. You might like it. I'm not hating on you if you like it. It definitely is a fun place to go and watch a college football game. There's no denying that. But it is really different compared to literally every other college football program in the country.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there is an update on the situation involving Deshaun Watson. There's also an update regarding Dan Snyder and Roger Goodell. We'll get to that next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.